Thank you, Nicholas. And welcome to the 7th Annual Capital Link Singapore Forum. Happy birthday, Singapore. Ladies and gentlemen, it is a great privilege to speak to you today and this morning. Here in Singapore, the heart of global shipping, 5 years out from probably one of the most important major milestones in our industry's decarbonization journey. So it feels like a fitting moment for all of us to take the pulse on our progress. With quite a lot of global shipping shapers in front of us, I think this week we are all reminded that we must learn to make uncertainty our friend and learn how to embrace change. So the question to ask ourselves is, are we moving fast enough? What will it take to move even faster? We need to look at how we are doing. That's the order book relative to alternative fuels. Then there's where are we going relative to how we are dealing with the boundary conditions that actually define our journey. First is safety, making sure we recognize the unintended consequence, safety consequences of change. Second, it's the availability, scalability, and crucially, the affordability of alternative fuels. And finally, where is the supporting infrastructure that's going to make all this work? And in terms of what we need to be keeping an eye on, it's also a question of tracking our progress against the timelines for our goals. The headline is that something is really going to have to bend the curve if we want to make net zero by 2050 a reality. Let me repeat that again. The headline is that something is really going to have to bend the curve if we want to make net zero by 2050 a reality. Because we are currently, right now, way off the pace and scale of change that we will need. Fortunately, our destiny remains in our hands. We are not done yet, but success will now surely be a function of what the IMO does next. To see what I mean, let's consider what we know. The maritime industry is in the early innings of a decade of change as we move into the fifth industrial revolution marked by decarbonization, digitization, and specifically AI. The calculus to get to net zero by 2050 is shifting. We will need 70% zero carbon fuels, which, by the way, requires 10 times more renewable energy than is currently produced, and 30% carbon neutral fuels, which will require 100 times more carbon capture than we have today. Against that backdrop, it is increasingly clear that the new nuclear technology actually is going to be key to meeting the trajectory. In fact, I'm going to be bold enough to say that I don't think we can get to net zero by 2050 without new nuclear. For shipping, we can see two stories playing out. These stories are the first one, which is shipping for shipping, which is the regulation-driven decarbonization of our industry. And the second is shipping for the world, highlighting shipping's pivotal role in tomorrow's energy mix, specifically as a carrier of future fuels, in particular, the emerging blue hydrogen and ammonia value chain and liquid CO2. The requirements of IMO 2050 demand a Herculean effort over the next decade just to determine what is doable and what is desirable. You may feel change is rapid now, but when we finally discover which fuels and technologies are able to jump the gap from potential to actual, then we shall see truly rapid disruption. As we wait for zero carbon fuels to build availability at scale, our industry needs a fuel solution to address regulatory demands to reduce carbon intensity today. With the present rate of alternative fuel infrastructure development, we shouldn't discount LNG as a likely go-to solution for many years. After all, as of today, it is the only alternative fuel that satisfies the three boundary conditions of safety, availability, and infrastructure. LNG is not only a transition fuel, but a fuel in transition, with a lot of runway ahead of it when you consider bio-LNG and synthetic LNG possibilities. So let me put all that in perspective. We know the bookends. It starts today in our short game with oil and gas, and with energy efficiency retrofits and data-driven optimization. The long game, or the longer term, is increasingly, I would challenge everyone, looking a little bit more like nuclear if we want to make net zero by 2050 a reality. But the key question for all of us today is what is going to drive the story in the middle? The mid-game, as we all know, looks like a mix of biofuels, methanol, ammonia, possibly hydrogen, along with electrification and carbon capture. And it is the IMO that is going to have to drive this. Governments will drive the nuclear end, and industry is in the driver's seat for the short game. But the IMO really has to step up now if we are to deliver on the pace and scale of the change required. A lot of this comes down to the question of how we address the significant price differential between fossil and alternative fuels. We need clarity. We need consistency and a level playing field for the whole industry. Right now, the industry is divided and there is no clear way forward. Ship owners looking to make asset investments with 25-year horizons need to be able to move forward with certainty. The IMO holds the keys to all of this, and the time for action is now. Whether we as an industry can make 2050 rests largely with the IMO and how it performs in the coming months. Now, we have heard much talk about a carbon levy, but I will tell you that's a wild card at this point. Everything will depend on how it is configured, implemented, and enforced. There's a huge question mark over whether this will deliver for the industry, and there is much still to be decided. So, in this uncertain and challenging landscape, what can we do? What can you do at the individual company or fleet level? To put it simply, concentrate on what you can control. The focus today needs to be on technology, innovation, and people without compromising safety. How companies get there is going to be a function of how they put the pieces together. And this, of course, leads us to a new formula in shipping to go along with a new language and a new set of global shipping shapers. This new formula for success in shipping now looks like a percentage of technology, a percentage of innovation, a percentage of change, and a percentage of people divided by a percentage of risk. The greater the risk, the more you need to invest in these areas to respond and adapt. So you see, this formula has as its levers in the numerator, not just the use of technology, but a culture of innovation, an appetite for change, and a recognition of people. All four have to work together to manage risk. So while we wait for the IMO to work through all of this and give us greater clarity and an investable regulatory framework around fuels, now is also a good time to focus on fundamentals, culture, people, and systems. No matter how good the technology is, this will ultimately be a story about people. An unexpected side effect of the advent of AI and technological advances in shipping, more generally, is a reinforcement of the primacy of our people. Clearly, the coming generations of seafarers will need to acquire a range of new skills and competencies, and the industry will need to invest in training and development to ensure that these skills are effectively transferred. We must keep human-centric system design and seafarer cognitive overload in front of us now, not tomorrow. This needs a coordinated approach involving industry, regulators, and training providers to ensure that seafarers are adequately prepared for the changes ahead. Because you see, the talent development equation is changing in our industry. 30 or 40 years ago, it was age, training, and experience. Today, it is skills and continuous learning. So this is how the industry can play its part today, investing to ensure it is ready when the fuels are finally available at scale. The rest is out of our control and is therefore out of our hands in many ways. And while it is true that success in the decarbonization of shipping will be a team sport, we will certainly need our captain to play a decisive role, because commercial gravity alone is not going to get us there. Now is the time for the IMO to show strength and leadership. Enjoy the conference and the opportunity it gives you to discuss, exchange, and debate views, perspectives, and insights with your industry colleagues. Thank you very much.